Hey, thank you for choosing to spend some time with us here at Awake the Iron. These podcasts are also posted as videos on our website, so be sure to visit awaketheiron.com. While you're there, be sure to check out the Awake the Iron Academy. You'll never be bored again as you explore vast archives of videos, interviews, documents, lectures, humor, and more, covering an ever-increasing range of topics. Think of it like a self-guided, self-paced college, but without the mountains of debt. We would also love to hear from you, and you can do that two ways, either through the website contact form, or leave us a voice message by calling the Awake the Iron hotline. That's 601-654-IRON.
With me, as usual, is the Lion of Losanniville, CJ, and we have an extra special guest with us today. His name is Brad from the Freedom People.
This all started for me in the late 90s. I was in the United States Marine Corps, and I found out that the media was lying to us, and it was that was earth shattering for me. And it really took me years to process how earth shattering that was, right? Because again, when your whole perspective changes, I'm sure a lot of people now, maybe 2020 did that for them.
This topic, we're going to be talking about the Federal Reserve system, the bank itself. And this is one that kind of floats under the radar, I think.
The Federal Reserve is obviously a failed system. In 1933, when they coerced everybody to give up their lawful money. No, the only lawful money is gold and silver. Okay. Everything else is legal tender or currency or whatever you want to call it. Right. And it's funny, right. If you take words, these words mean things, currency. So most everything's under maritime law in the United States, under Britain law. Right. And it's maritime law. And that's why it's called currency. And so it gets very interesting when you start to think about the words and how the courts work and,
So that's a whole other episode and all the words bank, like you got a river bank.
And the bar and it's something that's a bar, mm-hmm. but the bar is also the British Association accreditation or attorney's accreditation. So it's, and again, this is all through the Queen. Stuff gets really, really hairy and start talking about the Vatican, but that's a whole rabbit hole that we could go down. Yeah. But the Federal Reserve, just how it was started, implemented, and how it's issued today. That's been one of my biggest things, because the Federal Reserve is really what was the missing piece for me. Right. So when I first woke up, you know, once you realize you're a slave, the first thing you start to do is how can I get out of this, my shackles? How can I get out of this cage? Whatever it is. Right.
I thought it's funny the way people wear them, the different ways that people wear their masks. Let's do it. All right. So the first one I have here, you've probably seen somebody wearing their mask, but then they have it pulled down just under their chin. Maybe they're drinking something or whatever, but then they forget maybe to put it back up. So it's just sitting around under their chin. And this person, that guy looks familiar, but I call this one the chin strap. You know, they came out and said, oh, maybe you should wear two masks. It'd be better, right? And so you see people wearing the double. I call that the double down. I saw a guy the other day. It was like 25 degrees. He's jogging with sneakers and shorts, no shirt, and a mask. I'm like, wow, this guy is beyond tough. Good job. Keep running. All right, but I call that one the jogger. It's not really how they wear the mask, but it's just a funny thing. I see it a lot. They'll unhook it from one side, so it just dangles from one ear. And to me, it just looks like a big long earring. Like in the 80s, it was big to have like one earring. And someone who was really popular for doing that in the 80s was George Michael. So I call that one the George Michael. So I'll be walking around and be like, hey, there's the George Michael. So maybe you'll remember some of these and you can laugh about them with your own friends and stuff. We'll have Karis on here and she'll walk us through the Awake the Iron Academy. You're not going to want to miss this. Karis, hey. How are you doing? The Pilgrim of Persepolis. I called you a long time ago.
I was trying to remember those nicknames. That's, yeah. I like it.
It was like a year ago or something almost, I think. That first episode was like March or something. Mm-hmm. Can't remember the exact. But anyway, so I can't believe, I'll apologize for not having you back before then. This will be extra special. Been wanting to have you back. So what are you here for? Well, what's behind me here? We have this new feature on the website at awaketheiron.com. One of the tabs is the Awake the Iron Academy.
But now we have ATI Academy.
Okay.
And I think when we were starting this, it's like we kind of had a lot of research on, you know, the things that are current events that have really spurred a lot of this one topic. Here's our start. Let me go first of all just to the main Academy page, that first page you'll see if you go there. If you click on ATI Academy, it's just a little, you know, the little name and then just a quick summary. It says this is basically the research, you know, collection of some research we've done that, you know, Kason, you're always saying, don't just believe me or don't just trust me, go and see for yourself.
All right, we're here with another episode of Awake the Iron. I'm CJ, and I'm here with Kason. We might call this one Awake the Gold or Awake the Silver because we're going to talk about money. Yeah, the gold isn't changing. The dollar is going up and down.
Right.
And we'll get into like why that goes up and down because money shouldn't go up and down, but it's a currency. So currencies don't hold their value. Why are we just using paper? Like I would give you a $100 bill, you'll be excited, but it's really just because everybody else also thinks there's value in that $100 bill.
Right.
You can't exchange it for gold. Now, you used to be able to. So,
you could actually go to a bank and take your note. It was a $10 note or whatever, a silver certificate, let's say, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And say I'd like silver for this, and you could get that.
Right. So here we go. Here is this says it's 1928 series $20 bill, and at the top it says this certifies that there have been deposited in the Treasury of the United States of America $20 in gold coin, payable to the bearer on demand.
That's awesome.
And it says gold certificate there. That's just like in the goldsmith story. That's a gold certificate. You could go to any bank and say, hey, can I get the $20 gold coin? And they would give it to you.
Grab bag. Today's topic is going to be my pet peeves. When I was compiling the list, I have a lot of pet peeves. So I think I think I have some issues, some problems. I had a huge list. Like, I'm even thinking of new pet peeves right now. So, okay. So maybe I have a problem. So that's fine. But I'm just going through these, and maybe you've heard these. Second one I have here is, I'll put it in quotes, because of COVID. So, well, I was going to go visit grandma, but I couldn't because of COVID, right? You might have heard that. Well, we were going to have our soccer season continue, but we couldn't because of COVID. I hate that. I hate that. Nothing was because of COVID. Nothing. If you didn't go see grandma, or you didn't have a soccer season, it's because you chose not to. Maybe this was a bad idea. Get the heart rate going a little bit. I really get aggravated about this. Maybe you don't, and you're just like, this guy's stupid. That's totally fine. That's totally fine. Maybe you can find humor in my anguish. Thank you for tuning in to a special edition of Awake the Iron. We have some breaking news regarding Ohio's constitutional carry bill. Here to bring us more information about this is Awake the Iron's very own firearms correspondent, Derek, with the DROC report. So what exactly is this constitutional carry bill?
Yes, it's Ohio Senate Bill 215. And what it covers is anybody that can legally own a gun, own a firearm, can also carry it concealed in the state of Ohio. And it also has another little underlying part of the bill where you no longer have to inform the officer if you are carrying, if they don't ask.
Doing this podcast, you get to meet a lot of interesting people. And recently I had the privilege of being on a podcast called Liberty Revealed with Mike Mahoney. So I've posted this as a bonus episode here for your listening pleasure.
I wanted to talk today about vaccine mandates. I mean, we know that President Biden came out and he gave a speech that was supposed to be more about September 11th, but really wasn't as usual. And he mentioned that he has instructed the Department of Labor to come up with an emergency rule requiring employers who have more than 100 employees to require their employees to be vaccinated or not have a job. Let's start with a simple question. How do you feel about that?
Short answer, it's ridiculous. Long answer, it's ridiculous. So, I mean, let's backpedal here a little bit. These are illegal. I live in Ohio, so the governor, just like a lot of other states, came out, last year or whatever. Everybody has to wear masks. It's a mandate and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, that doesn't mean anything. I use the analogy that if the governor said, hey, everybody, you got to turn in your wallet. It's a mandate. Doesn't mean you have to do it just because the guy said it. And this ticks me off. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to make a mandate then. If that's the game, I'm going to say, everybody's got to give me your wallet. And of course, everybody laughs and says, get out of here, you crazy freak. But there's no difference. There's zero difference between my mandate and the governor's. The only difference is that he holds the title of governor.
So what do you think about how easily people have kind of given up their rights throughout
the
pandemic?
Right. And when it all started, I've talked about this on my show that, when all this stuff started, I was not shocked that government would try to gain power. That did not shock me at all. Mm-mm. I'm a student of history. I understand how that works. I was disappointed, but I was like, yeah, there's government for you. What did shock me, and shock is an understatement, it ripped my heart out, man. My heart was broken when my brothers, people who live in America, right? People who I thought loved freedom and liberty as the highest virtue, just rolled right over. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is worse than I thought. And I'll be frank with you. My country is lost. We're going to have to dig and make up for it and get it back, because it's the America I thought was there. It's not there, man.
And I thought, what better way to kind of start doing that, if someone's not sure about what your rights actually are, is let's just look at the Bill of Rights. So I found this site, it's called the National Center for Constitutional Studies. And you can find the Bill of Rights, you know, in the Constitution about anywhere. But I kind of liked this one because, can you see my screen? Am I sharing? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're an audio listener, I guess all listeners are audio. If you're a podcast listener, you won't be seeing these, but that's okay. But feel free to hop over to the website, awaketheiron.com, and I'll have the video of this up so you kind of see how this website works. And so just as an example here, I'm looking at Amendment 1, and if I hover my mouse over these underlined words, it kind of gives you little clarifications on these words. So we'll just kind of go through these. So some of them are a little more wordy, but they're all fairly straightforward. Okay, Second Amendment. Those darn guns. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Pretty much the most straightforward thing that you can read. But people twist stuff all around and, well, you know, it's not just muskets anymore and blah, blah, blah. So the well-regulated militia part at the beginning always was interesting to me. It's almost like a qualifying statement or something. It's like a little precursor or something. And the organization of the sentences is a little unusual for today.
We're going to be looking at this funny little book that has newspaper headlines that are, well, they don't convey the message I think the writer intended. And the book is called Squad Helps Dog Bite Victim. That's going to give you a little flavor of what's inside. Here you go. There's no punctuation in this one. It says, beating witness provides names. So, beating witness provides names. Here, see if there we go. Beating witness provides names. I think, I might be wrong, I think it means the person who witnessed someone being beaten provided the names of the people doing the beating. But it says beating witness provides names. Yeah, that'll usually provide some names, right? Beating the witness. Okay. Let's go to the next page. Here you go. Old miners enjoy benefits of black lung. Oh, here you go. War dims hopes for peace. You think? You don't say. No way. How could someone not catch this? How could someone not catch this? It says, milk drinkers turn to powder. Dr. Tackett gives talk on moon. I think it's highly unlikely. Here you go. Youngstown police on duty getting smaller. They used to be about 6 feet tall. Now they're about 5 feet tall. We are not afraid to look into things that maybe seem crazy. You know, I don't know. I'll hear anything. Sometimes it's good to take a fresh look. We do know there's deception in lots of stuff, and I'm finding out I think there's some in almost everything. It's seeming like it. So that doesn't mean there's no truth. But truth is not afraid of being scrutinized, right? Truth is like, it's like a lion. You don't have to defend it. You just set it loose. It'll defend itself, right? So let's keep that in mind. Let's keep an open mind and see what this is about. The title of the episode probably is going to get you wondering. But CJ's, looks like CJ's back in the Triassic period or whatever that is based on his background there. So what in the heck is this about dinosaurs, and there's maybe deception in there?
Just so the audience knows, this isn't necessarily like me saying dinosaurs don't exist and then Case and Mark saying yes they do and let's go back and forth. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know, but I have questions and maybe they have questions. I'm just bringing up the idea. Things might not be as they seem. So actually, I would like to start with the question of how do we know that dinosaurs existed? No one, even the museums, don't claim that those are bones up there. They will say it's a replica of the fossils that they have in the back room that you can't go see. No, they admit, like, you're not looking at bones. You're probably not even looking at the fossil. You're looking at, you know, a reconstruction of plaster based on the fossils that we did find, which are over there, and you can't go look at them.
I think that many people, when they come to a museum, don't necessarily realize what things they're looking at and which ones are replicas of those specimens. I personally don't think that's actually a big deal. These replicas are so incredibly good that at a glance, even an expert can be confused as to whether they're looking at the original or not.
I've become very skeptical of things that I can't really be certain of for myself. I'm okay not knowing some things. I don't think anyone could know everything anyway.
Yeah. But, and we're not actually supposed to trust the science. That's how science and scientific experiments are supposed to work. Like, you're always trying to disprove things. Science is supposed to disprove things. Like, it seems like this, let's do an experiment. And then, you know, if you keep not disproving it, then it's likely to be true, but we don't know. And so a decade later, maybe we do something else, and then we realize that was wrong as well. So
So it's like a continuing process of testing and testing.
Right. That's how it's supposed to be, is that you never know 100% and you never trust the science. It's just science tells us something right now, and that's interesting, and let's disprove that, see if we can disprove that.
But I've heard, you know, especially lately, I've heard a phrase thrown around called the saying that the science is settled. What do you have as far as driving pet peeves? Do you have like a huge list? Could we do like 20 or 25 minutes?
Well, I have 12.
Greg, 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 Greg,
Okay. So, CJ, what do you got? What was on your mind?
Yeah, so after hearing the grab bag episode with your pet peeves, I was thinking of what some of my pet peeves are. And the first several that came to mind were all driving related. So these are all my driving pet peeves. This might be obvious and everybody is annoyed by this, but people who go slow in the fast lane.
Doesn't the name fast lane kind of imply right. what you should be doing there?
Or, I mean, sometimes it's called the passing lane, right? All right. Number 10, people who tailgate.
Tailgate. They're right up against your, almost up against your bumper, almost behind you, right?
Oh, I hate that. And I want to like brake check people, but because I don't know why it's so annoying. It's like, do you think you're going to push me? Like literally push me to go faster?
Right,
like,
right.
Like, you know, it doesn't do anything. Like, if anything, it wants to make me go slower just out of spite.
Right.
But, you know, right. maybe they are successful with other people and the other people get worried and speed up, or I don't know, but I hate that.
Call it a grab bag because I figured it was just do random stuff. But today we're going to actually grab topics. I got a bunch of topics in here, 20 of them to be exact. And we're just going to, I put them in there. So I do know what's possible, but CJ is no clue about anything that's in there. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got one. I got a topic. See what it, there's a couple in here I'm like, ooh, I hope we get, but we'll see what comes out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other styles?
Not sure.
I typically like kind of like a Supreme type of person. I like everything on there. Or some people call it like garbage pizza, or just throw everything on there. That's my kind of thing. Are you like that, or you like plain?
I could do plain, like Kevin McAllister on Home Alone.
Geez,
or I like chicken on pizza, so like buffalo chicken pizza, chicken and spinach or something like that.
Didn't we have a buffalo or something one at that, what was that one place, Dewey's or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dewey's.
Yeah, that was good. It's just one word, Bigfoot.
Oh.
We might need more time for that, but we could, you know, we got maybe 10 or 15 minutes, talk about Bigfoot.
Oh, that's cool.
Awake the Iron.
Hi, everyone. This is Karis, and I'm happy to be back on the show, Awake the Iron. And I'm here to do a book report. So I know that Kaysen encourages people to, you know, research things for themselves. I'm the same way. It's like, I like to share what I've learned, but I, you know, I also believe, like, don't take my word for it. Look at the evidence for yourself. I've always been sort of a truth, facts, evidence kind of person. And so I dug into a topic that made me very curious when I first heard about it. Operation Paperclip by Annie Jacobson. And I guess you can see the subtitle is The Secret Intelligence Program That Brought Nazi Scientists to America. Under Operation Paperclip, he worked for the U.S. Army at Fort Bliss, Texas, and became project manager for the Saturn V. In 1980, he was investigated by the Department of Justice and left America in 1984 to avoid prosecution. Now, Rudolph worked under Wernher von Braun. That's a name that I had heard early on when I first learned of this program. Ended up working with our space program. So Wernher von Braun directed V weapons development for the German army. Records show that von Braun was fully complicit in the procuring slave labor from the concentration camps. So yeah, there's some notes, even his own words, of going to one of the concentration camps to look for skilled people for the factory. So this is following some of this information she gave, showing that von Braun was helping to procure, or at least ordering the procurement of slave labor. Okay, so quote, in December of 1944, with slave laborers dying by the thousands in the Mittelwerk tunnels and V-2 rockets crashing into civilian population centers, causing mayhem and terror across Europe, it would have been hard to imagine that some of those directly responsible would ever be regarded as individuals of great value to the United States. And yet, in less than a year, Arthur Rudolph, Georg Ricci, Wernher von Braun, Major General Walter Dornberger, and other rocket engineers would secretly be heading to America to work. In the last days of World War II, few would ever have believed such a thing. End quote.
I'll be honest, I was like, where is Tibet? You know, so I kind of had to look, and maybe in editing, I'll insert like a little map here, and, you know, we can see kind of relative to, you know, where it is. And I just used to think it's somewhere where the Dalai Lama lives and a bunch of monks in orange robes, and they're all, you know, just like nice. And it's somewhere that Brad Pitt was for 7 years, I guess.
Yeah.
That's it, literally. And I've never even seen that movie. 7 years. So I don't know what that's about or whatever, but
yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, on our show, it's about like deception and I don't know. Are there red flags here? I mean, I don't know. It looks like mm-hmm. a cool place, kind of fancy, you know, it looks majestic. And so maybe there's more that meets the eye here, huh?
Yes. That's what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
So I began to dig in, like, what? Why is this called like a graveyard for mission work and extremely hostile? And years and thousands of hours of research later, I just couldn't believe what I was reading. And I thought, I'm going to have to go there mm-hmm. and confirm what I've been reading. So I was reading pro, con, all kinds of research into it. And at the same time, you had been interested in Tibet.
Mm-hmm. I think what we're going to be mostly talking about tonight is the religion of Tibetan Buddhism.
But yeah. Even though this was not, we believe, anything to do with actual human sacrifice, the symbolism is not lost on anybody who's paying attention. Mm-hmm. It is the symbolic mm-hmm. disemboweling of a human being and feeding their entrails to demons. Mm-hmm.
All right, welcome back for another segment of Awake the Iron. We're back for another grab bag, so it's going to be kind of random. I've got CJ, the Lion of Lasanyville, back with us for another one of these. And for this one, we had a lot of fun the last time actually pulling topics out of the bag. I think it was pizza and Bigfoot, right? So we're going to do that again. I said we go back to the bag and see yep. what's next.
Here, wait, I want to grab this one out.
Okay. I can't.
I can't either.
We'll have to get some better special effects. Okay. Oh, this says, well, it's two words, but it's one thing. Peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
First question. Chunky or smooth?
Smooth.
Really? Oh, I like chunky.
Has to be smooth. Now, I like peanuts. Okay. I like the crunch. Just
eating them. Yeah.
But if I'm going to eat the peanut butter, I don't want those chunks in there.
I am 100%
opposite. It's got to be smooth. It has to be smooth. Like,
and you know they may even make the extra chunky. That is me.
But yeah, I know I'm weird because I like the chunks when they're by themselves as peanuts or whatever, but I don't want them in the butter.
With me is two of my favorite people. We have CJ, the Lion of Losanniville, and Karis, the Pilgrim of Persepolis, both back on the show. And I don't know if you guys knew this or not or remembered, the last time you were both on here together was the first episode. And you ready then? I'll start the clock. Yep. And so you'll read your quote and then Karis and I are going to try to guess who said it. We'll try not to take super long. Mm-hmm. And then you can expand on the quote, like why you picked it, whatever. It doesn't matter. Or we'll just be done. It only took you 30 seconds. Fine. We'll just keep going. Okay?
Yep.
Okay. Timer is started.
Why not go out on a limb? That's where the fruit is.
I'm not really sure. But I'm going to say Bilbo Baggins. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, you're both wrong. It's Mark Twain.
Okay. He has lots of good ones.
That's really good.
Lots of good ones. I got one here. Let's start my clock. We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false.
I guess I'll just stick with what I said, head of the CIA.
Okay.
Bill Gates. I know it's not, but it could be.
Karis is right.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's in 1980 from 1981.
Our senses enable us to perceive only a minute portion of the outside world.
Okay. I'm gonna say Tesla.
I originally thought that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Gandhi.
Okay. Oh, good guess.
Yeah, I like your lines of thinking. It actually was Nikola Tesla.
Yes!
Oh, I should have said it. Darn.
You could have copied.
Yeah, but CJ, I can see how you could picture that going, you know, physical versus metaphysical. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The title of this is Let's Declare a Pandemic Amnesty. These precautions were totally misguided. In April 2020, no one got the coronavirus from passing someone else hiking. Outdoor transmission was vanishingly rare. Our cloth masks made out of old bandanas wouldn't have done anything anyway. But the thing is, we didn't know. Emily, we did know. We knew. I knew. People like me tried to tell people, and we were told to shut up, and we were made to leave restaurants, and we were barred from entering stores, and we were called crazy, we were laughed at, you name it. We did know. And you know what? Shame on you. Shame on you for pretending like you didn't know. You could have known. You had the potential to know. And I'm not saying everybody needs to know everything. What I'm saying is, you, Emily, You chose not to listen. You chose not to listen. And if you're someone like Emily in this article, say, oh, well, we didn't know. You chose not to listen. And this is extremely aggravating to me.
In 1970, Yuri Bezmenov, a 31-year-old KGB officer specializing in propaganda, defected to Canada. Bezmenov was sickened by the oppressive nature and toll of communist totalitarianism and wanted to devote his life to educating Western nations, America in particular, on what he and the KGB had been doing to us to undermine and ultimately destroy our societies. In 1984, Bezmenov published a small book, Love Letter to America, in which he explained in great detail how the communists running the USSR were working to destroy America, not using physical weapons, but through what he described as cultural subversion. Due to a multitude of memes and short clips on social networks, Bezmenov has become more famous than ever. I discuss his cultural significance with my guest, Kason Pratt.
And here we are. Kason, how are you, sir?
Good, man. Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I appreciate that. I was just telling the audience that I've been really looking at Yuri Bezmenov. I think I'm saying his name right. Yuri Yuri.
my Russian's a little yeah. Rusty. So
okay. I'll just stick with Yuri.
Yeah, that's fine.
And in my research, I was saying how I came across your website, and I said, oh, I know Kason. So I wanted to have you on the show because I know you've done a lot of research on Yuri. You're a big fanboy of him for good reason, I think.
He just was – it was almost prophetic, and it wasn't that he was a prophet. It's just he understood everything about – how to subvert a nation from within without firing any bullets.
What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages.
I also thought it was very interesting when he said that the people, the leftists, he singled them out particularly. Mm-hmm. He said the leftists think that when the people come to power under the system, that they too will rise to power along with them. And he was like, no, they're just useful idiots. They're mm-hmm. going to be killed as soon as world order takes place.
Yeah, they serve their purpose and then are discarded because you don't want extra people hanging around that, you know some things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that should be a wake-up call to a lot of people as well. Kason, thanks for your time. I do appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot. It's been a blast. I'd love to talk to you anytime.